Welcome to That Max Show, episode 105. We talk about Macs, iPads, iPhones, Apple TVs, iPods. Does anybody buy iPods anymore? Well, anyways, we talk anything related to the Apple universe. Somebody drop that music track right about now. Let's get started. Hey, how's it going, folks out there in the universe, the Apple Macintosh community and all that jazz? I'm your host, E.T. We are getting ready to get started here. Any housekeeping things going on here? Let's see. Next week, I'll be traveling to the East Coast for some business. Should be able to manage a podcast. Might be the old hotel room variety, but I'll bring my mic and I should be able to put one out next week. Depending how busy I am, but I'm pretty sure I'll be able to. Should be wrapping up by the time I record the episode, flying out Friday morning. So I'm going to try to push it out Thursday evening, if at all possible. Last week, headed up to Austin to check out the house. Looking pretty good. It has structure. It has a roof. They're getting ready to start putting up the drywall, so I'm excited. I was going to ask them to wire some Cat 6 cable for me, but looking at the layout of the house and the probability that the internet will be coming in through the wall into my man cave slash office and everything else, I'm probably going to be running off of Wi-Fi or, yeah, most likely Wi-Fi. I think I don't really need to run the cable behind the walls or anything like that. And from what I've been reading, supposedly the modern houses are actually, instead of using the old school phone lines, they're actually running Cat 5, so if all you got to do is supposedly change the front face plate and, you know, wire in the Cat 5 and you should be good to go. So I'm doing a little bit more research on that, but the project manager said I still have about a week or so if I wanted to run any cable, but I'm trying to think if I actually need to. I don't think I really need to. In the living room, you know, they're going to have the Roku, which can run on Wi-Fi, no big deal. Main purpose is the man cave has to have a wire connection for all the internet goodness that happens. Okay, anything else happening? Nah, not really. Hackintosh is still performing. It's the i7-4770 is the chip to get. Best bang for the buck. Not best bang for the buck. For the buck, you get the most power. I guess it would be best bang for the buck. It's not the cheapest. Some people say if you're not doing video rendering and stuff, you could probably get away with an i5. But I figure since I'm building it and I have the majority of my parts already, I went with the i7. Okay, let's get into some Macintosh news. First story of the day is yesterday, Microsoft had their little iPad office release party presentation thing. And from the looks of it, I have not bothered to download it because I figured if I'm not going to get an Office 365 account, I would probably have very limited use for the app. I mean, it's a free download, which allows you to actually view documents and presentations. So I might throw it on my iPad, but since my iPad is mostly a entertainment device, I don't see myself pulling up a presentation or a spreadsheet or a Word document. But we'll see. I might try it out. But I mean, there's so many other options out there. You got iWork. You got Google Docs. You got on the Mac. You got LibreOffice, OpenOffice. So it's hard to really go toward that Microsoft product. Since it's been so long since they've really paid attention to the, and they should have actually jumped on this iPad thing and iPhone thing a lot earlier. But I think with the time they spent, they actually produced a really good product from the looks of it. I'll probably give it a go. I'm not going to pay for a subscription, but I'm going to download it and see if I can find some document somewhere in my world that actually I can view. But yeah, subscriptions, you'll have to get full features out of the product. You're going to have to do the yearly subscription to the Office 365. As I mentioned, the downloads are free and you can view presentations, documents, etc. So I think it's probably the best thing they could do. You got to give that app away free, but you want to tie people into that SaaS, software as a service business model. I think pretty much the future is going to be SaaS. You get the app for free, and then if you want all the bells and whistles, you're going to have to pay the monthly or the annual fee. And I just checked the current price of a 1-year subscription to Office 365 is $99 a year, which equals $8.25 a month, which I think is a reasonable price to pay for full access to the Office 365 suite. Okay, let's continue on with the next story. Okay, what we got next? We have a little bit of more rumors coming out of Asia about the new iPhone 6 coming out, and it looks like it's probably going to be, but again, air quotes here, probably going to be debuting in the September timeframe, and most likely going to have a 4.7 to 5.5-inch combination. I guess there's going to be two things that come out. One, more like a 4.7, and the larger one will be near the 5.5. And this comes from actually the Nikkei Asian Review, which gets information from parts manufacturers in Japan. And most of this information is coming from suppliers that deal with the camera parts that Sony provides to Apple. I think Sony, from what I've been reading, Sony supplies the majority of the parts, especially the CMOS sensors, to Apple. And on a side note, they also supply a good amount to Samsung. But they've had to increase their output by buying up another factory, and they're going to be increasing their capacity to 25%, basically 25% every month. And they're investing a lot of money, 35 billion yen. So for yen to dollar conversion, take off two zeros, and you know, you got, what is that, $350 million investment, give or take. About 35 billion yen, we can do the conversion later. Sony also provides batteries for the iPad Air, so that's Apple is definitely diversifying its parts manufacturing and trying to get away from the copycat Samsung. So, and I think this comes from several years back. I heard rumors from a friend of mine in Japan that Apple was trying to totally get away from Samsung manufacturing whenever it can, but I'm not sure if they're still on that path. But they've definitely, you know, diversify their suppliers, so as a little bit of punishment and a little bit of protection of themselves from, you know, when you have a manufacturer manufacturing your phone who also manufactures competing phones, you know, it's probably not a good thing. Looking forward to the big fat iPhone, and I think I will probably go with the biggest one they have. I've been using a Galaxy S3 for a while, a piece of junk, but the screen size is awesome, and I'm kind of in the, I don't really call people on the phone very often, so having like a phablet type size device is definitely something that I would be interested in, and probably would, if it got to the 5.5-inch area realm, it'd probably make it so, you know, a lot of people who had iPad minis wouldn't buy the mini, but it would be more kind of like that transition device a lot of the younger folks out there use, and I guess older too, because, you know, the older we get, the worse our eyes get, so having nice big screens is also helpful. But anyways, we know that from now until the time this release, we're going to hear lots and lots of rumors. But this one was kind of backed up with some facts from distributors of CMOS sensors in Japan. So, and since I lived in Japan so long, I thought it was kind of an interesting article. And I thought it was something good to bring up on the show. So looking for a end of summer release of the iPhone 6. Fingers are crossed. Okay, let's move into the next story of the day. This is a kind of interesting story. It's supposedly the Russian government is dropping the use of Apple iPads in favor of Samsung tablets over fears of NSA spying and other, you know, CIA spying and things like that. And I was thinking about it for a while, and I was like, is that any better? But then again, you know, Android is based on an open source project, so the Russian programmers will be able to dig into the code a little bit more than they would to be able to dig into iOS. And unfortunately, they're going to have to deal with, I think, my opinion, inferior products. But they will, I guess they'll supposedly have that control, and there will be no backdoor, even though Apple said many times there is no backdoor that they're using. Well, you know, we just don't know what's going on with the NSA. But the Russian government is trying to nip everything in the bud. And I guess they figure with Samsung Android-based tablets, they could always root them and, you know, find out what's going down in the source code and get down to the nitty gritty, find if there's anything, any back holes, anyone calling out they shouldn't be calling out. So, yeah, I think for the Russian government, and for maybe for some of us, it might be a good thing to do. But I guess Apple has been pretty insistent that there are no back holes. But again, do we really know? And will this even help? I mean, supposedly the NSA is able to pretty much monitor any traffic on the internet, supposedly. So we'll see. But interesting move from the Russian government. They decided to drop the iPad. There are probably a lot of pissed people in there wishing that they were able to still keep their iPads. Or maybe they'll just use them for personal use. Who knows? I thought that was a rather entertaining post. Oh, yeah, the next story. A couple days ago, the Jobs movie that was starring Ashton Kutcher was actually released on Netflix. So first thing I did was plop down in my chair, get some popcorn, put on the headphones, and watch the whole movie. And surprisingly, I'm not really the biggest fan of Ashton Kutcher. I don't think he's that great of an actor. I think he did a pretty good job in the story. I mean, the story was, I guess, there were some creatively written parts, supposedly. But it follows the majority of what we know as the life of Steve Jobs. And I was thinking that I wouldn't be able to make it through the full 2 hours or whatever the length was, but it was entertaining. I watched the full movie, and I think I would potentially watch it again. So I am going to recommend it as a watch if you have Netflix. Why not? It's you're paying, what, $6 to $8 a month anyway, so you might as well check it out if you got a few spare hours in your life. And I think there's at least three or four, there's a couple documentaries and then this movie on Netflix. So if you want to dig down and get more information on the life of Jobs, Steve Jobs, with a little bit of Woz thrown in there, I think it's pretty cool. Thumbs up from me. I mean, I don't think I would have paid to see it, but since it's on Netflix or a rental possibly. So the next story comes out of our long-term producer of external products and CPU upgrades for Apple Macintosh computers, Sonnet. Sonnet Simply Fast. Over at SonnetTech.com, they're releasing a new X Mac Pro server. And this is a 4U server case for your Mac Pro. Mac Pros are cylindrical, and 4U server racks are rectangular. So you can imagine on the right side of the 4U rack is your Mac Pro vents and top. And on the left, you'll have kind of an area for you to mount your PCIe 2.0 expansion systems. And all of this supports, of course, Thunderbolt 2 ports, which is going to allow you to add lots of good stuff to it. So some of the key features are it provides a PCIe card expansion, makes your Mac Pro road ready. Carrying around a 4U is road ready. I guess so. It won't roll around. There's going to be 3 PCIe slots, 2 Thunderbolt 2 interfaces, power for high-performance PCIe cards, provides space for installing additional devices, remarkably quiet, and the front panel operation, rear panel connectivity, energy efficient, and supports Thunderbolt expansion. And every Thunderbolt-compatible card is supported with a 5-year warranty. So this thing sounds pretty cool. There's no price on it yet, which is the problem. But we will see what comes of it. But it looks pretty dope. It's for those people who basically you're using it in business, or you're just stupid rich and baller status. You can afford to buy this kind of stuff. But I don't know. It looks pretty awesome. We kind of expected there would be some kind of rack mountable, because people often buy multiple Mac Pros and then rack mount them in any way, shape, or form, any possible way. So these ones actually look pretty cool. And I'm hoping they did enough research to know that you can get the cooling from the bottom and shoot out the top, which will be the front-facing part. But it looks pretty awesome. We'll see what comes of this. I mean, it's definitely not on my list of things to buy, but if I was in the business of, you know, media production at that scale, I'll definitely look into picking up some of these and loading up the server room with a bunch of 4U Mac Pro servers. It'd be pretty awesome. Next story is kind of on the interesting side of things. And this one talks about how Apple's going to diversify its use of the emoji, which are the, you know, the little colorful emoticons, the faces and the, you know, the crying things, the little pictures that you leave in your text messages and your emails. Actually, those are part of an international standard of things. And they've actually been around for a while. And initially started in Japan, of course. Cell phone technology kind of was adopted really quickly there. And all the cute little characters you could send back and forth to your friends. And I lived in Japan for a long time when these things first came out. And, you know, they were the best things since sliced bread. And it took the iPhone a long time to get them. And once they finally did, you would have to basically load up the Japanese keyboard and Asian keyboard to get access to them. You know, there are apps that would kind of trick you through it. But then finally, Apple actually brought some of the emojis over to the English version of it. But for me, I've always had them because I've always kept the English keyboard and the Japanese keyboard so I could, you know, switch back and forth between entering. But now they want to add some more ethnicity. So that whatever that means, there's going to be a little bit more, how do we say this politically correctly? More ethnicities, nationalities represented with these colorful little animated picture things. So I think it's cool. I guess they're also getting a lot of competition from these messaging apps like Line or WhatsApp, who have, I mean, Line, the one I used, they have, you can buy emoji packs, you can upload your own emoji packs, and they have all kinds of big, fancy ones. And I think Apple kind of sees that they're going to keep within the standard, but they want some more diversity in the actual pictures themselves. But I think it'd be cool if we could upload our own and send them over to our friends and stuff like that. That'd be kind of awesome, too. But maybe in the future, they're setting it up so we can, but we'll see. We'll see what comes of it. But I thought that was kind of an interesting article. And this is Tim saying, I want more ethnicity. I want more diversity in my emojis. So we'll see what comes of it. But I think it's all good. No reason to bring politics into it. It's just a good thing. The next story is kind of close to home for me. As I mentioned previously, I'm getting ready to get a house. So I'm trying to think of what cable solution, or am I going to cut the cord and go over air? And I pretty much decided I'm definitely going over the air. I'm not sure if I'll cut the cable since Google Fiber is coming to Austin, but it has not yet been announced what areas and when it's going to start. So I'm probably going to have to go with UVerse for a while. And UVerse, usually the packages are so close to the internet-only fee that you might as well just get the package. But I'm also definitely going to mount the over-the-air HD antenna in my crawl space above my garage. That's probably what I'm going to do, just so I get the really, really, when the sports and things are on, to get a really high def signal over the air. And I thought that would be kind of cool to do. And also, if I decide not to get the cable, it'll be good to have at least the local news and the weather and stuff like that that are, you know, broadcasted for free. Ad supported, of course. It's not free. You're definitely getting supported by ads. But Comcast is in talks with Apple. Apple's in talks with Comcast. And what Apple kind of wants to do is let Comcast put a app on probably on the Apple TV. And I think what they want to do is actually store the media more locally, so it doesn't have to traverse all the internet tubes to get to you. So you can imagine local data centers will have, you know, the file is already there. So basically, the distance between, you know, you watching on your Apple TV or wherever, your iPad, your iPhone, it's going to be a lot closer. You won't get those laggy bandwidth issues. And then if the negotiations go well, it won't affect people who have bandwidth caps since it's not going outside of the Comcast network. So I think it was a good idea. And I think I've talked about this, heard other people talk about it. Why not put the media, you know, make it a CDN, disperse it to the closest possible point of, you know, like major cities and, you know, like the closest peer, closest server, data center, whatever is where the information is stored. And, you know, duplicate that data elsewhere. And I think we can get away with, or do away with, you know, these major bandwidth issues on the main internet and keep them on more locally. I'm not sure what, I guess, intranets kind of, sort of. But I thought it was a good idea, and I think it's probably something they're going to have to do. Netflix made a deal with Comcast and some other cable providers, so I think it's probably the best way to go, since they're taking up so much of the internet traffic, and the companies, you know, get a little pissed off at it. So to be, you know, to keep things flowing, they're going to make some deals, and I think it's probably a good thing. And it's a little bit early in the negotiations. The Wall Street Journal really, this article came from the Wall Street Journal. They didn't really say that anything's actually in stone yet, but I think just the fact that they're having talks is a really good thing. Getting this data to the customers without hitting, well, number one, bandwidth caps should be illegal on landlines. Oh, actually everywhere. This whole unlimited bandwidth for up to 10 gigs, this is really irritating to me. It's, nothing's unlimited if you got a cap on it. But that's a whole nother rant I won't go into. But I think getting this information, this data, these movies closer to the source that doesn't have to traverse the whole internets, then it's a good thing. And kudos for the engineers and the companies that are trying to think of ways to make it a better experience for all parties involved. And hopefully cheaper too. Okay, another story, kind of cool, is this iBeacon technology is slowly starting to get out there. And an article over on Engadget is talking about how the San Francisco Giants, and most of the MLB for that matter, have actually adopted iBeacon technology to enhance the viewers' experience at the baseball game. So this is kind of cool. I mean, iBeacon, I think, is one of those technologies where you got to be careful, because if you're going to just bombard people and they walk in the store with ads and stuff like that, then I don't think it's that good of a technology, though we are going to see that, no doubt in my mind whatsoever. But other places like sporting events or historical museums and things like that, spitting, you know, walking through a museum and you walk by a dinosaur and it spits you a little information telling you, oh, this dinosaur existed during the Thoracic period, 8 million, billion, whatever years ago, and it was a meat eater, carnivore, et cetera, et cetera. Or, you know, you're at a game and so-and-so's up to plate and it can spit you the stats real quick. I think, little things like that, or, you know, specials on t-shirts or maybe free giveaways, and, you know, kind of things, just, it's limitless. Yeah, I think iBeacon technology might turn into something that's a sleeper technology that might turn into a really big success for the iPhone and Apple in general. So I thought that was awesome. I think, of course, we got to be a little bit careful with how many of these things we use and how much we're bombarding people with information. But places like, you know, where are they playing? I don't know if they play in Candlestick Stadium anymore, but, you know, the San Francisco Giants Stadium, wherever they play these days. The only reason I say that, because when I was young in elementary school, my grandpa took me to see a San Francisco Giants game in Candlestick Stadium. So that's all I remember. Haven't been there since. But anyways, yeah, I think technology like iBeacon will, when used sparingly, is definitely going to be an asset to the whole iOS ecosystem and for Apple Computer as a whole. And other companies that embrace this technology. I think it's pretty awesome, actually. Awesome. One more. I think we'll do one more story today. This one, when I lived in Japan, they had the earthquake, volcano, tsunami warning system to every phone. And, you know, the iPhone was not any different. It came out through the networks, through Docomo, AU, SoftBank. I think those are probably the only three main carriers right now. I don't think any of the little ones are left. And if they are, they write off a different, those networks or the PHS networks. But I don't think they're using those anymore. If so, it's probably only Tokyo or Osaka. But anyways, I digress. Japan's new alert system is going to warn you when Kim Jong-un decides to launch some missiles or if there's any terrorist attacks. So this is, you know, of course, when you live in Japan and your neighbor Kim Jong-un loves to lob missiles into the Sea of Japan, you know, in the general direction of Japan, it's kind of nice to know what things are happening. And, you know, the majority of Japan carries a mobile phone. It's a commuting society on subways, trains, buses, bicycles, and a little bit cars. So, you know, why not have these kind of warnings as well? You know, I can just see it when you wake up in the morning, bloop, 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 Kim Jong-un decides to shoot another missile toward us. And, you know, at least it gives you a little bit of information on what's going on. But, and, you know, hopefully, if things ever go to hell in a handbasket, you know, this could potentially save some people's lives. But it's funny, but yet serious topic. And I thought it was something good to end on. Anyways, that's been episode 105 of That Max Show. If you want to contact us, probably the best way to do it is just go to maxshow.co, maxshow.co. There's a contact form that has an email that you can use. It's ett808@gmail.com. This is my direct email, Eric Timmer here. Short for ET is probably the easier one. Let us know. You know, maybe I'll throw out a question today. Do you care about Microsoft Office for the iPad? Will you use it? Will you spend the $99 a year for Office 365? Let me know. You can either post a comment in the show at the episode. It's episode 0105, so 105. Post your comment there, or you can just shoot an email and I'll read it on the air. Look forward to hearing from you guys out there. The audience is growing exponentially. We're running a new stats system. Maybe I'll give you a little hint. Something coming soon. A friend of mine are working on some podcasting stats, and it's called lunastats.com. That's LUNASTATS. And we're in a really, really early stage, but if you want to drop your email address over there, and we can set you up when we're ready. We'll start setting up some alpha and beta users. If you're a podcaster out there and you're interested in checking out some new stats systems that we're developing. But so far, pretty interesting where the audience is coming in from. And I want to thank everyone who's subscribed through iTunes. We're doing pretty well over there. I'll keep podcasting. You keep listening. Throw me some emails. Let's get the conversation going. And eventually, once I get into my new studio and my new house, we're going to start turning on some video production. So that should be fun. And we'll take some Skype calls and things like that. But we'll do that a little bit more in like the summertime once I get situated with the house. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.